Two concours, 3 hours of sleep at an Ohio Super 8. Hello and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. Together we have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, routes, and other tips, and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. Today we'll talk about heated grips and lighting upgrades. Heated grips, and as we talk about today, riding at night, it gets cold at night, yeah. No matter what, even if the temperature's warm, sun goes down, and man, there's two great things about heated grips. They keep your hands warm a little bit. Some guys will tell you that they're the backup in case your heated gloves go down, but the other thing that it does do is it will dry out damp gloves as well. Mm. So I like heated grips. It's really nice. In fact, you got to be careful with them. The bike that I'm riding right now, I think, has some aftermarket grips, and I think they're almost too big. I think they actually eliminate some of the heat. So at some point, I may try to tweak those. But no, heated grips are just comfortable. It's a nice to have, not a have to have.
I've never had them. My car has a heated steering wheel.
It's like that, for the bike. And then lighting upgrades. We're talking about riding at night, and you definitely want, if you're going to do significant riding at night, you definitely want to upgrade your lights. That goes for the front and the back. Mm-hmm. If you're riding a little bit of an older motorcycle, you can get those either LED that plug into like the H7 bulbs, or you can get a whole entire extra set of lights. And that's what I very much recommend. You can spend as little as you want to, or as much as you want to almost. But having an extra set of lights, especially, we live in Iowa, it's deer country. Fill in the ditches, just adding that extra little noticeability is always a good thing for me. We ride some back roads out here, and there's just critters and there's things, and then other cars come, and it's hard to see everybody at night. And so adding those upgrades, LED lights in the front, are really good at night. And then you couple that on the bonuses during raining times, mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer for me. And there's a lot of great small lights that you can add on that add a lot of light for not a lot of price, and they're inconspicuous. They're not mm-hmm. so crazy now.
Yeah. And you were talking about riding in the rain. Mm-hmm. Is that for other people to see you, or is it for you to see? Because I know sometimes when you turn on your lights in the rain,
like a light, snow blinding almost
effect. Yeah, that happens, or it just doesn't light up the road because the light just kind of reflects away.
Yeah. For me, riding at night, or excuse me, riding in the rain and then riding in the night rain, of course, it's the extra visibility. We've talked about this, but when I brought this Goldwing that I just bought back from Nashville, Tennessee, I rode it back. 4 out of the 7 hours was in the rain. And it was never in my life have I ever experienced this on a motorcycle where people were pulling over because I was running, in the fast lane. And they would just pull over because they could see you. You really were being seen more. And any time that you can be seen more on the motorcycle is better. Now, the particular lights that I have, they have covers on them. So I was running yellow lights in the rain, mm-hmm. and which, again, alters that white light reflective. Mm-hmm. The yellow light is not a light that you normally see. So I think it's just another one of those visuals.
Yeah. And so you can change those covers out.
Yeah, these particular ones just have covers that slide over. Yeah. Great lights, clear water lights, but they're also very expensive, but they're well worth it. Mm-hmm. Warranties, all that cool kind of thing. So,
I saw you write a post on on the Best Motorcycle Roads and Advice or Trips website, and you were asking about the covers or the lights or something.
Sure.
And man, there were negative.
Yeah, I was a little shocked at that. So
what's going on?
So what's going on is I want to put those Baker Air Wings on my bike for you and I both like to adjust the wind a little bit.
Yeah.
Where they mount is underneath the mirror, which is where my current big honking LED lights are mounted right now. So I thought, you know, before I do, just kind of go on my own and do what I want to do, I'm going to just ask. So I went to two different forums out there, and the first one was like, what do you need those for? Well, pick one. Pick the Air Wings. I'm like, no, I'm not picking one. Like, come on. You know, and that was funny. And then just no answers, really. Like, why? What do you want that? And then another one got rude, and they were just like, well, that's dumb. What do these lights you mean? Like, I'm like, well, I want to be seen when I'm riding the motorcycle. You know, like, that's my biggest fear, probably, is not being seen. And then, you know, some of these lights, it was like when the Goldwings kind of revamped in the early 2000s, the modular lights for a very short time were something people had on brand new motorcycles, meaning they flashed, right? Your lights flashed.
Yeah.
I don't love that. Like, I think that's a little much. Mm-hmm. It's too much. But that's what people are saying. Well, you want lights that blink and modulate. I'm like, no, I just have lights. And the ones that I have, you can turn them down, get intense and dimmer.
Yeah.
They went off. I was surprised. Like, I was just like...
Yeah, I couldn't believe how many people didn't even answer your question.
They never did. Alejandro, I think was his name. Thank you, Alejandro.
Yeah, but the rest were all just like negative comments.
Oh my gosh. And then go off on a tangent.
Off on a tangent, and they were saying, you don't need modulated lights, and you didn't say anything about modulated lights.
Never said anything about
your lights don't modulate, so what are you talking about? Yeah.
No, it was interesting. I was kind of surprised, but I think I did find some bracketry that's going to mount on the engine, so it'll drop them down to what I would call maybe like knee height, and I think those will actually be even better. Oh yeah, you better check your state and local laws. You can only have lights that are 26 and a half inches off the ground. It's like,
okay.
I'm just thinking, like, I've been pulled over a number of times for a number of things. Never once did they measure my light height. So.
No.
And I don't think if I'm riding a motorcycle at night, they're going to worry too much. So, yeah.
You know, and if you've got your bright lights in someone's eyes, they blink the lights, you shut them off, right? Come on.
Yeah. So, come on. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Also, though, with the a lot of front light talk, but those back lights, again, in the rain at night.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, there are some motorcycles out there that have low lights in the back.
Really low lights.
You
had one that had very low lights
at
one point.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
And so hopefully just adding a couple, especially now even I see some cars that are starting to come up with that. When you hit that light the first time, it gives you like a triple blink and then stays on. Yeah. Boy, is that handy, especially riding at night. So
My bike has some of those as well. There were add-ons.
Yep.
And it's really nice. It does. They do flash.
Yeah.
They're up high. They're kind of on the passenger's like elbow area.
Yep.
Like on those armrests.
Yep.
And I'm never behind myself, but I know they flash.
They do a little repetition. Yeah. And then
But it catches your eye.
Yeah, anyway. Totally. And then what's great about LED lights too is like yours have, when you turn the turn signal on, they're yellow. When you hit the brake light, they're red, you know. That's just stuff that was not possible in the same spaces that are now. So, yeah, it's great stuff.
RideWise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. So as requested by Travis in episode 9, we're talking about different types of motorcycles. And one of the motorcycles that I've always really liked, I ride a Goldwing and I've had it for 10 years or more, but I've always really liked, maybe 12 years, I've always liked sport touring bikes.
Yeah.
And so I thought, let's talk about sport touring bikes. And honestly, I started looking them up. They're not making sport touring bikes anymore. Or what they call sport touring bikes now are more like an adventure bike. What
do you call it? Yeah, either adventure or standard.
Or a standard.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not really making one. like what I'm used to seeing, like the Concours and the Honda ST, 1200, 1200, whatever it was.
That was 13, yep.
I just loved those bikes. It was kind of the mini Goldwing, had the very aerodynamic fairings and windshields that sometimes were electric. You could move up and down. Had all the electronics. It had, you know, the comfortable seat. It had the suspension that could be adjusted. It had navigation. The mileage was fantastic, and they had great big gas tanks on them. So you could get, you know, 400 miles on a tank. I mean,
that was only the ST.
Well, the ST did that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they're not making sport touring bikes like that anymore. They're really not. BMW sort of.
Yeah,
has
as we were
one.
Doing a little research, you know, BMW has a couple models that I would definitely consider sport touring, but even the ones that you had pulled up, I'm like, that's not a sport touring bike.
No, they don't look like what I remember.
You know,
as
KTM,
being a sport
I don't think they have a sport touring bike. They have some crazy great brakes, but none of them are sport touring.
Yeah. Kawasaki.
Yeah, that was shocking.
It was.
And FJR said, I mean, they showed the last model year was a 23 as well. So, like,
yeah, Yamaha's on it.
I think they were the first ones with a, I think the FJR is maybe the first sport touring bike, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of an end of an era.
Yeah.
I've had two. I don't remember if you ever rode either one of those, but great machine. The ST1300, 7.7 gallon fuel tank, really comfortable. The first bike, I think, to have the adjustable windshield with your thumb. Really, really crazy. I think at least 300 miles to a tank, if not more. Great bike. And then the Kawasaki Concours, those bikes were really kind of the really like aggressive sport touring. I mean, everyone, it was a detuned Ninja 14, you know, but you know, that bike, unfortunately, never had it had cruise control, I might actually still own that bike today.
Although but didn't. I thought, you know,
a lot of those sport touring started to take on, get the, yeah, you know, have cruise control. But man, and these both a lot of iron butt riders, and we'll talk more about what that is. A lot of long distance riders use these bikes. Very common to have heated grips, lights, accessories, seats, pre-wired for like extra lights.
Yeah.
Things like that. So a lot of wind protection, I think, is probably the big thing that when I first got the sport touring bikes, that was my big notice, is it really protected you. I had bought an aftermarket windshield for my Concours that kind of had a lip, the Lamar lip up. Yeah. And those were really, really helpful. And man, you could just sit down in there and really just not get much wind or anything. So
It's too bad those are gone. I mean, if I had found one cheap, I might just buy one just to
just
have
for
it.
Storage purposes.
Where are you going to put those. That?
Oh,
yeah, I don't have room now. But I have to get rid of a car.
But yeah, and just we're talking riding at night here too, and a couple other things I thought in the RideWise section was just keeping a glove friendly flashlight in reach.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere is good. If you have to stop, unlike a car, we don't have a dome light. So like in either a tank bag or at least a pocket of your jacket, having the little flashlight, I think that's clickable, is good.
Yeah.
And then what else was I thinking? We've talked about these before, but two little lights inside if you have luggage, when you open those up at night, again, either you have to have the flashlight or you have to have a light in your luggage or you're not going to see the thing you're looking for. So just another, like, things you don't necessarily always think of when you're riding at night. Get used to your controls, too, because, again, there's no backlit on the controls. So that's one of the weird things for me when I started doing a little bit more night riding, especially on some of these Gold Wings. There's a lot of buttons.
There are, and I know that I've hit the kill switch by mistake, and you know, at night in the dark, and you get on, you start cranking, it won't start.
With panicking.
Panicking, you know, start checking, am I in gear? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And, you start checking, you know, am I out of fuel? What, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not backlit, and sure enough, you hit the kill switch.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's just a different experience. You think you know that bike until you ride it at night, you know, and then, so I always try, as I'm thinking about it, during the daytime, I like, you know, I'll just put my thumb, not look at the handlebars, put my thumb on one of the switches that I think is what it is. And, you know, and then it's wrong. So, but yeah.
Right.
The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. So today we'd want to talk about the iron butt, I guess. And the reason why I brought this up is because pretty much have to ride at night if you're riding in an iron butt association ride. And what is that? It's a group of people that have set up some rides that the minimal one is 1,000 miles in 24 hours. So I have no exactly idea why I wanted to do this, but I did. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's better now because of electronics and some of the GPS monitoring that allow you to use. But back before that, which is when we did this in 2012, it was really where you had to track your receipts. You had to get someone to sign for you at the start of the ride. And then you had to continue to kind of monitor and make all your because no one goes with you and it's pretty unofficial. Then you send your receipts in and then they verify it. So I really wanted to try it, and it was April. So the start of the season for the LD riders or the long distance rider is really in April. These people ride everywhere all the time. Every other year they have the Iron Butt rally, and that is usually where a bunch of riders start riding. They'll ride for 11 days. They'll do at least 1,000 miles a day for 11 days. And by the time they get all done, they'll be somewhere in the 12,000-mile range. So these guys are riding bikes long distance. So my brother-in-law at the time and I wanted to ride. We both actually had Kawasaki Concours. And so basically, we were riding from Cedar Rapids, Iowa to Solon, Ohio, to Casey, Illinois. That was about, I think it was 1,012 miles. So one of the things that you want to do before you try this is just really preparation. You want to be ready to do this. And my biggest advice is try not to stop riding your motorcycle. Like, one of the things that really got us, in trouble was, one, so the official rides will allow you to have a certain a bit more fuel. So a lot of the long distance riders will add a fuel tank. We didn't do that. We didn't have an extra fuel tank, but we were riding, and at that time, the Concours would get about 180 miles per tank. I think it would get a little more, but like safely. So you'd ride 180 miles, get gas. What I would have liked to do is really just straddle, get gas, and keep moving. Mm-hmm. The gentleman I was with liked to get off, and then it's a 20-minute. That's the problem. We've talked about this before. You stop and you swing the leg back over, you're 20 minutes. You know, it's another 20.
Yeah.
Well, we had to fill up six times to get to 1,000 miles.
So 20 minutes times six times.
Right. So you get the point where you're starting to lose, time. So we did finally get out. It was about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning when we got to Solon, Ohio. Hence the two Concours and a Super 8. Because we ended up deciding we could sleep for 3 hours. I'm not sure. I think it was probably worth it. I shouldn't say it's not worth it because it was definitely good to get a little sleep. But it was a little bit short.
Yeah.
And then you come out to the bike and you realize, hey, good news. There's frost on the motorcycle.
Oh.
It's April in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it's night. So then, this is more night riding. So just again, good lights. The Concours had good lights. I had auxiliary lights on it. And you just got to be, night riding, you have to be a little more in tune and kind of ready to go. So that was probably the hardest part, is just staying alert, staying warm. And, just kind of keeping with it. I think we mentioned this before, but I put every piece of gear I had and then put the rain gear over the top because it was cold. I remember riding through Columbus, 28 degrees. I mean, So, it's one of those things where I'm super glad I did it. Not 100% sure I'm ever going to do it again.
I think the other thing about putting your rain gear on the outside, too, besides the wind and that kind of stuff, there's always reflective tape on,
correct. Good point.
On rain gear. And that stuff really shows up well at night. So, if you're not wearing your rain gear, it's nice to have a jacket at least that has some tape on it.
I'm really glad you said that, because if you go and look, you can buy black tape that's actually reflective. Oh. So it's black tape, but at night it reflects. And so if you look at a lot of little nicks and crannies on your motorcycle that have black spots in it, you can really put this tape into those spaces, and it doesn't really look, it looks slightly different, but man, at night it lights it up like an electric light, it's really sweet. I think there's different colors of it. I know that there's white. So if you have a white motorcycle, you could put some white stripes. Mm-hmm. If you have a black motorcycle, I know there's black too. So I'm sure that there's probably many colors. Great idea.
Yeah.
Another one I've seen them do is they have the reflective lights on the sides of the rims of the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And those reflect a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can do to be seen at night is always good. And then
getting
those ditches and areas up ahead just for people, other vehicles, and critters. It's a good thing. Yeah, for sure. The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there, but you can subscribe.
Today's roadside Q&A comes from Melissa, and she asks, how do you balance the thrill of the ride with the practical aspects of long-distance travel, such as rest breaks and fuel stops? What do you think, Tom?
I don't think we should ever stop.
It's all about the thrill.
It's the thrill of the ride, man. I know I'm a pusher on the fuel stops. Like, I like to ride.
Yeah.
Ride and ride. So that's probably but I think we've talked about this a little bit before. I think kind of knowing the comfort level and the rider experience, if you're not riding all the time, even though I know Mike doesn't quite ride quite as much as all of us do, he likes a little bit more stops than when we do. He loves that. I don't know if it's because of his fuel or because of his backside that he likes the
I was thinking it was fuel, but you might be disguising it.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, I think it's trying to make sure, you know, I think we've talked about before, nothing will ruin a great trip faster than frustrations, you know, and things like that. So for me, I think it's just that, but also just really making sure everyone stays hydrated, because I think you get grumpy and sleepy, and it's hard when you're tired.
It is, and there's nothing wrong with stopping every 2 hours. No. You know, I mean, that's
if we have
120
to.
Miles, you know, right there.
We're never going to make an Iron Butt if you stop every 2 hours.
No, you're right.
No. But yeah, I mean, you kind of bounce it, right? If we got to go 1,000 miles in 2 days, then we really do have to ride some miles, though.
Yeah.
And some, you know, what we've talked about this coming in the Midwest and we're riding out, you want to eat up some miles at first, too. So yeah, you just got to balance it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Exactly.
Now is the last mile. It's our way to close the episode with just our reflections of the day. And Todd might cry during this, but go ahead and reflect.
The loss of the sport touring bikes. And the thing is, I've never owned one, but I've always wanted one. I mean, some people will call the Goldwing a sport touring bike.
Yeah, I mean, especially the new ones.
The new ones.
They're throwing that title on it a lot.
Yeah, and no doubt, they're sporty, they're fast, they handle well. They have all the, you know, luxury items you want for comfort and safety. So I wouldn't try, but I still would like to have one just to have something small, a little bit smaller. And but you know, the Iron Butt thing you talked about, that doesn't interest me in the least.
I have an aftermarket seat.
Oh, did you? I don't care about getting a patch or a medal or an award or anything like that. That's not my idea of fun or an enjoyable.
Well, that was just the most minimal one.
I know.
Because I'm thinking more what we should probably do is the 50cc.
Oh, boy.
Coast to coast in 50 hours.
Yeah, no. I thought you were talking about 50cc scooter ride or something.
Well, you can do it, but you have to pick the right route.
Okay.
No, 50cc, coast to coast.
Coast to coast, I gotcha.
Or we can do it 100, coast to coast, back to coast. No?
Well, sometime let's go coast to coast.
Four corners in 48 and 10 days?
Yeah. I'm not in that big a hurry. I'm fine doing a coast-to-coast ride, but I'm not going to do it in 1 or 2 days.
Canada to Mexico?
Yeah, no thanks. Moving on.
When it comes to just reflecting of today, I mean, night riding, I used to be a radio DJ, and honestly, like, I love the night. So I actually don't mind riding at night, but I think if you're going to ride at night, be prepared with the right gear and the right lights. You know, there are less cars on the roads at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more critters. But there's critters. I mean, I hit a deer during the day at 2:30 in the afternoon. So, so really, I mean, honestly, I think it's just fun to ride all the time. But when you're riding, be prepared. When you're prepared, you know, be prepared before you start riding. So for me, it's fun. And yeah, I'm a little sad about the sport touring thing too. But then I'll turn the heated seat and heated grips and Android Auto on the Goldwing, and I think I'll be okay. Join us for our next episode where we're going to talk about a route highlight for Copper Harbor, Michigan. If this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive, and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.